for Jesus' disciples. From the time when Jesus was arrested until where we are now, a couple weeks after he had been resurrected. From everything from an idle tale by a bunch of women at a tomb, to Peter and John running to the tomb to check it out for themselves, to Jesus appearing among 10 of the disciples in the upper room, to appearing to a couple people walking on their way down to another neighboring city when Jesus all of a sudden revealed himself at dinner time that he was the risen one. To a week later, when the disciples, all 11 of them, were gathered, Thomas included this time, the story we heard last week. It's been on and off, Jesus appearing. And everything has changed, and yet nothing around the disciples has really changed. Because Jesus is not back 24/7 with them again. He comes, he affirms their faith and gives them something to hold on to, and then leaves again. So they never know what's going to happen next. They're in this in-between space of wondering where they're supposed to go and what they're supposed to do. And today, our story from John 21 is this in-between space. A group of disciples had gathered around a campfire, about 7 of them, Peter and Nathaniel and Thomas and the sons of Zebedee and a couple other disciples, and they're talking about everything that they've seen over the past week and a half, almost 2 weeks. And everybody that's named in the story has doubts that have been named. So for Nathaniel, Philip was the first one to come and grab him and say, come and see this man who's out of Nazareth. And Nathaniel's one who goes, can anything good come out of Nazareth? And then as soon as he meets Jesus, it turns very quick into, you are the Savior of Israel. You are the King of Israel. And then there's Thomas, who the story we heard and saw last week in our youth and our youth person acting out for us. The story of Thomas saying, if I don't get to see it or touch it, then I am not going to believe it. And Jesus showed up. And as Thomas saw and touched and interacted with Jesus, he had that great statement of faith, my Lord and my God. So that brings us to Peter. Now, Peter is known for the person who walks on water and sinks in it, who says whatever comes to his mind on a spur of the moment as Jesus is around him. And even though he said plenty that affirms, you know, you are the living God, you are the Son of the living God, Peter himself still has his own doubts too. And so they're sitting around the campfire. And this poor Peter is mostly known for his denial. For the 3 times within earshot of his captive teacher, he says, I don't know him. I am not one of those disciples. 3 times he stands close enough but still far enough away to not be involved in the whole story. 3 times he turns his back on the one who has brought him life and hope. Everything has changed. And then again, nothing has. The religious leaders didn't lift any of their restrictions on God's people. The economic structure did not change. Poor people were not all of a sudden taken care of. Rome was still in charge of everything around them. Yet everything for them has changed, and nothing has. So they're caught in this in-between, the space wondering what happens next. And so Peter stands up from the campfire, brushes off his tunic, and says, I'm going fishing. Guys, you know how nice it is to have a fishing pole in your hand and how quiet and peaceful that is, a space to think. And I think Peter just needs something certain in the middle of the uncertainty. So he goes back to what he knows. And 6 of the other disciples say, yeah, me too. So they get up and they load the boat of all of the gear. They strip down into their work in skivvies. And they push the boat out. And all night, they cast and they haul. And they cast and they haul. And as those nets get heavier, as they're finally soaked with water, they cast and they haul. And all night long, get nothing. And now they have a heckler. Some guy on the shore started a campfire and yells out, hey, kids, you haven't caught anything, have you? Well, great, thanks, buddy. No, we have not. And so this heckler decides to be oh so helpful and suggests, well, how about you throw your nets on the right side of the boat? Like, they haven't done that all night long. Thanks, buddy. But they have nothing to lose. And so they throw him off over the other side of the net, the other side of the boat. And they start to haul it in, and it's more than they can handle. Now, John knows who it is. And he whispers, it's the Lord. And Peter, known for being impulsive, gets dressed, jumps into the water, and starts swimming to shore. I kind of wonder if he thought he could walk on it. If he knows it's Jesus, well, I better get dressed and ends up sinking. But he gets out, he jumps out of the boat, he starts swimming to meet this person on the shore. And the other disciples grab the boat and start pulling in all of the fish. I think Jesus is there to invite them into a new life, into a new way of being, into a new and certain hope. So they eat breakfast together. And after they finish their bagel and lox, Jesus invites Peter into a space and a time of redemption. Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Feed my sheep. Simon, son of John, do you love me? Yes, Lord, I love you. Then tend my lambs. Simon, son of John, do you love me? Oh, that hurt. Yes, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. See, I don't think that this is Jesus trying to make Peter feel guilty. We don't get that at all from any of the scriptures we have about who Jesus is or how Jesus acts. He's not trying to really stick it to Peter. Nor do I think it's trying to cover up what Peter has done. So for every denial, there is an affirmation of love. I don't think that he's trying to make this okay. I think Jesus is stressing that there is something new for Peter to be, a new way for him to be in all of the uncertainty. A lot of scholars think that this last chapter of John is kind of an epilogue. It's an appendix to John. Because John 20 ends with this beautiful, I have written these things so that you may come to believe. And much more could have been written, but it's not in this book. Next chapter. So there's a lot of people who believe that John 21 was kind of written together to give us something to stand on when Peter is out and spreading this good word about God. That the last thing people know of Peter is his denial. And so this is the show that Peter really does have this new call of Christ. But I think that we need this story too. Because Peter is more than the sum of his failures. He is more than some impulsive guy. He is more than some follower of Jesus that happened to spread the good word to all of the Jewish people. He is more than what he has failed to do. Peter, do you love me? Then tend my lambs. That Jesus is calling him into a new way of being, not fearful and hiding in a room, but because of his love for God, going out and doing something with it. Meeting the risen Christ does something to us. For Saul, being blinded by the voice and the light on the road, had such a change in his heart that he was able to go out and spread this good news about Jesus Christ, the one that he had been trying to kill everybody for doing the same thing. And that change was so big that he even changed his name from Saul to Paul and wrote letters like crazy about the love God has. And the same thing with Peter. That love that he has for Jesus was supposed to pull him out of himself, out of the fear, out of the past, out of the failures that he had, and give him a new way to be in all of the uncertainty. You are more than the sum of your failures. You are more than all of the things that you've screwed up doing or tried to do or the things that you're too afraid to do. You are more than what holds you back. Children of God, do you love Jesus? Our call is to tend the lambs, to share the love that God has with others, to share it with the people who need it the most. And maybe our failures and our failings of the past will help us do that in the future. Do you love Jesus more than these? Than your fears, your uncertainties? Do you love Jesus more than the ways that you've failed in the past? Do you love Jesus more than your hopes or your expectations or everything that could lay ahead of you in the future? Because God's love is capable of surrounding all of the people in this world, and it won't even stretch the nets. Amen. If you're able, I invite you to stand.